knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. I like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
I have a quick question for you today.
Sure.
What's your bright spot?
I'm going to delay mine until a little bit later,
all
but
right.
I'm curious about what yours is.
All right.
Is.
Well, Dan, it's tennis!
Tennis. Alcatraz.
Alcatraz. U.S. Open starts tomorrow. I'm excited.
He should really start doing stuff like no one has escaped Alcaraz. And shit like that. Like, there's so many.
He can't do it. Here's the problem.
He could show up as, like, the Birdman. He could have a bunch of different characters that were, like, prisoners from Alcatraz and show up to psych out his opponents.
No, it would be fun. The problem is his entire ethos is just pure and utter joy at being the best at something.
All right.
Like, he can't be mad. He's smiling and laughing all the time. It's terrible. He's
all
great.
Right, fine.
He's the greatest.
There's got to be someone who's at Alcatraz that could embody that.
Yeah. Oh, no, there is. There's a guy named Holger Rune who's
Holger.
A fucking Viking ass shit. Yeah, that's the guy.
All right.
That's the guy you want to do it.
Send this message to Alcaraz.
All right.
Anyway.
Okay.
What's going on? What open is it or something?
It's the U.S.
It's the something
it's
open.
It's the last major of the... No, it's... Here's what it is, all right? It's one more opportunity to see Alcaraz and Djokovic go at it.
Sure.
The Wimbledon final, 5 sets, one of the most electrifying matches I've ever seen.
Right. Sampras versus Agassi?
Something like that. The Cincinnati Open final, 2 weeks ago? Three sets, one of the best matches I've ever seen.
Let me ask you a question that's really basic.
What's that?
And it only is part of me not knowing anything about tennis.
Sure.
So the Cincinnati Open happens.
Yeah.
Does this feed into the U.S. Open?
No.
So it's not like a qualifying thing?
No.
Okay.
There are qualifying.
I assume there were, but I didn't know if it was like different cities have their things and then that all goes to the main.
No, there's three levels of ranking points. You've got an ATP 1000, 500, and 250, right? 250 has, super low ranked outside of the top 100. 500 is, has people all the way up there. Sometimes you'll even get a Rafa or a Djokovic or something like that. And then 1,000 is one step below a major.
Okay.
So the Cincinnati Open was 1,000.
All right. So you like quality players.
All the best players.
All the best.
All the best players play the 1,000
And if they win, they get that green jacket.
They get a green jacket every time. There are roughly 40 green jackets given out per year.
Okay.
It's a lot of green
jackets. It all makes sense now.
Kind of devalues the jacket, really. Yeah.
So does the fact that it's green. I'm excited for you. I'm very happy for you to get to watch some guys go.
It's a lot of fun.
Some grunting.
Yeah. There is so much grunting.
People watching the line and arguing about it.
Yeah. I'm looking for it. The hope is for me, TFO. TFO is the American, grew up, immigrant story. His dad was a janitor at a place,
Sure.
Grows up hitting stuff. Now he's one of the top 10,
Nice.
Yeah.
So he's in the mix. He's in the conversation.
Totally in the conversation. But realistically, everybody is like, we're just going to see Alcaraz and Djokovic in the end.
See, now here's the other thing that's great about this is that it's the U.S. Open, so you don't have to stay up all kinds of nonsense hours to watch it.
You know what's fun about that?
Yeah.
Not true. Usually goes till 1.
That's not as bad as some of those other ones.
It's not as bad as having to wake up at 4 for the French Open.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's a challenge.
Yeah, that one's rough.
They just had, today, as we're recording this, they just had All In, the AEW pay-per-view.
Oh, sure.
It was taking place in London.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, some of those London fans are always mad that, you know, pay-per-views are on U.S. time.
Sure,
this is
sure.
their payback.
This is, I mean, the payback pay-per-view.
Except it was at noon. It started at noon today. So, like, so it wasn't really, even, like, it wasn't tough for anyone to stay up here. But, in reverse, it's tough for them.
Yeah.
Because they end up having to stay up all night to watch WrestleMania and shit.
Yeah, that's the problem with being ahead in time, is that in order to truly screw over the U.S. fans, you have to start at, like, 8.
Aha.
Which is, like, you're still, you're the ones in trouble, because I'm just going to wake up later.
Joke's on you, London.
Exactly, exactly. You got to go back in time in order to screw over the people ahead of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we have an episode to go over today, Jordan. We're going to be talking about August 24th, 2023.
Okay.
That was Thursday.
All right.
And that was the day after the Trump-Tucker interview.
Right.
And so I was
kind of
thinking that we were going to check in and get some Trump-Tucker interview stuff. But all Alex does is brag about how many views it got. And then he plays a little clip of it. There's really not much analysis. The entire third and fourth hour are made up of him playing his interview that he did with Andrew Tate. So,
okay, so are you telling me that even in the Trumposphere, right, nobody paid attention to the Republican debate, and nobody really paid that much attention to the Trump-Tucker interview, other than to be like, see, look at how great it is.
I understand there was a fella named Doug at the Republican debate.
I truly believe the only people that paid any attention to that at all were the people forced to cover it.
Yeah, yeah. And a couple of people who have been texting me about Vivek's teeth.
Ugh.
There's not a whole lot to go over on this episode, but there is some stuff in it. It is pretty stupid and awful, but we'll get down to business on that. But before we do, Jordan, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And I have some new sound effects.
Ooh.
They will not be permanent ones. They are just for today and for what will end up being my bright spot.
Okay, okay.
So first, Don DeGrand Parrish, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
We're here.
Next.
Thank you very much.
Quizzawonk Hatterapt, I see down the genetic lines of both wonks and raptors. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
We're here.
Next, my therapist told me to stop listening to Knowledge Fight, so I called him a loser little titty baby. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
We're here.
Next, Timothy Lawrence, the patron saint of student loan forgiveness. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
We're here.
Next, I don't know what esoteric Chicago area comedy reference to make, but it's currently between the cinema snob Brad Jones and Chad the Bird. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
Oh, boy.
We're here.
I would have gone with Diamond J. Harris or something.
Yeah, I always go with Diamond J.
Or our old friend Adam Crotius.
Sure, definitely Crotius. Crotius is a great one.
These are esoteric, because maybe not that esoteric, but people who have been around a long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nothing quite like a good Crotius.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep. We got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan, so thank you so much to Harry. Quit letting guys name carnivorous plant species as carcac. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
I was the color red.
No!
World for the black and white.
A lot of leftists like Sean Penn and others are calling for nuclear war like it's funny.
People buy and sell fear. They worship war. They crave war. But I'm not afraid of their wars. I created war. And I think it's time for the masses to wake up. Wake up. Wake up!
I just think it's some of the best coffee you're going to find anywhere. It's Wake Up America, Patriot Blend.
What about you, man? That's what I want to know. Aren't you tired of feeling unwanted? Aren't you tired of feeling like an outcast or being stepped upon? Well, then today is your day. Because today is the day that Bray Wyatt decided he was going to change everything.
I don't like to hype things, but people are designed to hype.
You do as you're told. So says the man.
You see what they want you to see. And you feel whatever it is they want you to feel. But I am different. Where you see a blank canvas, I see a beautiful painting. And when you hear silence, I hear symphony. I have 1,000 faces and 1,000,000 names. Seducer, accuser, destroyer.
With my free will, I can dial to the Satan channel in 2 seconds. I can go into that bathroom in there and look right into my eyes for about 2 seconds and decide to let something else jump right into me into the driver's seat. And that something could absolutely tear people's arms out of their sockets.
But the eyes of a fool are blinded by pride. And now the devil is knocking on your door. Knock. 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 He just wants you to come home. Just let him in. Let him in. Let me in.
Let's go to break. Because you may not need a break, but I got to go pee-pee.
But if you need me, I ain't hard to find. All you got to do is go look up in the sky and follow the buzzer.
Thank you, Harry. You're now a technocrat. So, the theme of these other clips are Bray Wyatt clips for those
Rest
folks who may not know wrestling much.
Sure.
Or maybe only know it from our rambling about it. This week, Bray Wyatt passed away. My favorite wrestler died at 36.
Yeah.
Just absolutely tragic.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tough to deal with celebrity deaths because I don't know these people.
True.
I don't know any of these people. Mm. And when a celebrity dies, people talk about, I met this person at X, Y, or Z thing.
Sure.
Eulogizing of public figures is tough, but this hits hard for me.
Yeah.
I loved Bray Wyatt, the character. I thought there was an artistry to it that was so far beyond other things that I see in pro wrestling. Now, granted, this isn't to knock other types of pro wrestling.
Sure.
It's just something that's very different. There's an immersiveness to it. There's a mythology. There's this guy who is creating a world that is supposed to live within this other world. Mm-hmm. It's nonsensical on some levels. But he had such an amazing gift to be able to draw you into it with this speaking, this skill of just like weaving a tapestry of words.
Sure.
that make it feel like it's not silly.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
And I think that I was pretty harsh and pretty, I was very notoriously worried about Uncle Howdy.
You were concerned?
The most recent incarnation of what Bray Wyatt was doing, the last time he came back from sort of a repackaging of the gimmick. Because I thought, like, well, this is worrisome. There's another silly mask involved, and I don't quite know what the point is. And then it turned into that glow-in-the-dark mask match that was very weird.
Ooh.
I was very concerned. But I was willing to see how it played out, and that's the kind of faith that I had in this person, this artist, this craft.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I felt so comfortable in that worry because I had a sense and a feeling that is obviously now shown to be wrong, that for the rest of my life, essentially, I would see other things he created. Maybe this Uncle Howdy thing, maybe this is a zero.
Sure.
This doesn't work out. But the next thing he tries, I'm sure there will be something to it. Or there will at least be like, I see what is trying to be done here.
Sure.
But meh. And now that is not the case. That is something that we'll never have again. We'll never have the next thing. You had the hillbilly cult leader guy, Bray Wyatt character, the Eater of Worlds. And then you had The Fiend and the Firefly Funhouse.
Sure.
And then, you had this feeling that that'll be there. The next thing will be there, and I'll see if I love that too.
Sure, sure.
And then now there shall be no more Uncle's Howdy.
Well, and then there would be the comeback of one of the characters that he had left behind. You know, that's also part of the thing. There would have been a career. That's, you know, he established himself as having a career that was going to be there, that he fought for and earned, you know?
Yeah, and I don't know. It's hard. It's brutal. I never got to see him live. I never went to a WWE event that he was at. And I don't know. Something that moved me a little bit was thinking about, like, and this sounds so dorky or whatever, but, like, I never got to be one of the Fireflies. Like, whenever he came out to the ring, he would be carrying a lantern.
Sure. It's our Twitter
we're here.
Pinned tweet thing.
Blowing out the lantern is the menacing thing that he would do.
Right.
And everyone would put up their cell phone lights in the darkness, and they were the Fireflies.
Right.
And gotcha. I always thought, like, eventually I'll be able to take part in this fun pageantry, and no, I never will get to do that. These opportunities lost, and it does make you think of, like, well, time not promised. I know a lot of people die.
Sure.
And I know this isn't enough.
Almost everybody dies.
Yeah. But in the realm of, you know, creators that you like and artists and stuff, it is time is not promised, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you think Aerosmith is going on a farewell tour.
Oh, my God.
YouTube ads have told me about this.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, it's like you think about it and you're like, well, yeah, I should probably see them before it's never an option again.
Sure.
With someone like Bray, you know, I had that thought of eventually I'll be able to see this. And you never think a farewell tour was that glow-in-the-dark match.
No.
You know?
No, you don't. No.
I have a million thoughts and a million things I want to say about what it is about him, and it probably doesn't serve our interests here as a podcast to spend that time delving into what made that character so interesting, the populism of his hillbilly cult leader character, the dynamic of him being a showman. As a human, being a wrestler, that's a showman.
Yeah.
And then his character of being the cult leader is a showman itself.
Yes.
The other characters within within the wrestling landscape, they aren't necessarily showmen or show women. They're wrestlers or they're fighters. He is someone who's selling something.
It is a well-constructed character whenever you think, okay, Bray Wyatt, the character, when he's not on screen, is like calmer and is ready to talk to his buddies, like, okay, this is our plan, this is how we're gonna do that, instead of Bray Wyatt the human being taking off the mask, you know?
Yeah. And then just the ability to, like, go from, like, a giggle to, like, terrifying. Like, people can't do that.
It's tough to do.
You can't. Just what a loss to wrestling.
Yeah.
And you know, the Wyatt family was his group, and initially it was him, Eric Rowan, and Luke Harper.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke Harper passed away tragically, like, a couple years ago, also quite young. And so, you know, you just think about, you know, they're all friends and they're all close. It's particularly someone like Eric Rowan and, you know, all their families, you know, just how brutal it must be for them. Anyway,
I had
a bummer of a weekend.
Yep.
And this isn't even talking about Terry Funk passed away, too.
Oh, that's true.
The hardcore legend, Terry Funk.
Yeah.
But then again, he was, like, you know, he was really old and did a career for decades of him bleeding all over the place.
You
kind of expect that more. I mean, it's tragic and all, but it's not quite the same.
No, for him, dying was an achievement. Like, that is, yeah. He did it. He lived an entire life in almost defiance of all possible realities.
Yeah. So I spent a lot of time over the weekend going back, watching a bunch of stuff and, you know, reliving and enjoying. And all of it was quite enjoyable, but not like it didn't get me.
Mm.
But then on SmackDown on Friday night, they did mostly a tribute to Bray and Terry Funk.
Sure.
And there's this wrestler, L.A. Knight. He's the guy who did the glow-in-the-dark match, the last match. And he came out and did a promo basically against The Miz, like getting in, like, you know, building to a match with The Miz.
Sure.
But was able to eulogize and give respect to Bray while not breaking character and staying within the world. And it was really sweet. And then he ended the promo saying, Miz, as a wise man once told me, the next time you see me, run. And did like a Bray thing.
Sure.
And that's like, that kind of got me.
That was good.
I teared up a little bit. Huh? And anyway, enough of this. This isn't a wrestling podcast.
Yeah, you know.
But I made those sound effects. So.
Yeah. So it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's all worth it in the end.
Anyway, Jordan, we have an episode.
Indeed, we do.
We talk about August 24th.
Sure.
And unexpectedly, most of this episode is diving deeper into conspiracies about the Maui fire.
That is unexpected.
Yeah. And so here is where Alex starts things off and his conspiracy for the day.
And AP is reporting what we broke last week and the witnesses have confirmed. And that's really our top story. The feds, under their directives from the local police, the county, and state, barricaded the people of Lahaina in to die. That's the Associated Press headline. They knew it was in the fire, they followed orders, and they murdered them.
So here's the headline that Alex is talking about from the Associated Press. Quote, in deadly Maui fires, many had no warning and no way out. Those who dodged a barricade survived. From a very broad reading of just the headline, Alex's storyline seems like it might hold some water, but in cases like this, it's usually good to actually read the article. Also, it doesn't hold water that, like, they murdered people.
Yeah, that doesn't
that
track.
Part's still,
not even in the
that
headline.
Part's still a little
yeah,
bit much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in terms of, like, if you're just, like, if you just take the headline and you ascribe reality to it, then it's like, oh, only the people who dodged barricades
right.
survive. Everyone else is dead.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Sure.
There are questions that still linger about how public alert systems were and were not used effectively to warn people to flee, but this is the aspect of the headline that Alex is talking about, this barricade thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave all the other stuff aside for the moment. If you read the article, it's very clear that the barricades are that are mentioned have to do with police setting up, blocking off streets where the fire is blocking the road,
right.
or a street where there are crews actively working on down power lines.
Yeah, the blockade was for the fire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And some of it was so people couldn't drive to where the fire was.
Right. Right. Right.
Because the fire was there.
That is where the fire is. So it was also letting people know, do not go there.
Less escaping the fire. Less
right.
blocking people from escaping the fire
right.
and more blocking them from going to the fire.
Right. You don't want to go into the fire.
Yes. Now, at the same time, I do think that from the Associated Press and from other things that you read, there are definite concerns about how prepared people were
sure.
and how prepared the government and the county were to deal with like further in and out roads and stuff
yeah.
like that. The entire situation is an utter tragedy, and there are sincere questions to ask about the civil response to the fire. Was it possible to give residents a greater warning? Very sincere question. Could the Coast Guard have been alerted earlier to facilitate evacuations by boat? Could a detour escape plan through dirt roads have been planned way in advance in anticipation of this possibility? Should the power company have turned off the electricity to areas with high numbers of downed wires or wires with a high potential for being downed? All of these things are questions that should be asked, so something can be learned from this tragedy to help save lives in the future. What Alex is doing is disgraceful, ghoulish shit, meant only to profit off the suffering and death in Maui. Fuck him and this entire trauma profiteering economy. This isn't a real concern that he has. He's just making shit up in order to create a sensational, interesting story for his audience to enjoy.
Yeah,
fuck it.
It feels like now, you know, everything is now, it feels like everything is now orchestrated around distracting us from the fact that nothing really works that well anymore. Like, everything is just fucking a little bit shit. Our infrastructure is shit. Airlines are shit. Like, everybody's electrical grid is shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's because we've allowed the wrong people to run roughshod over
right.
us for 40 years. So that all of this is distracting from them.
A lot of stuff regarding infrastructure and what have you has not been invested in appropriately
totally.
To maintain it. People who are tasked with that, with the public trust, a lot of times have not done a good job with that or yeah. invested poorly. And
or
yeah,
just flat out stolen shit for bonuses and shit.
Yeah. But these are problems that can be solved. These right. are human problems.
Exactly. That have to be solved.
Yeah. Yeah. And they blockaded people in to murder them is not something that's actionable. It's not something that's it's not real. It's yeah. not there's nothing there's nowhere to go from there to a better future.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's intentional.
Once you defended one electrical company that deliberately did a shit job in order to cut costs and all that stuff, you know.
Well, I mean, Alex, he doesn't even fully understand how ERCOT works.
That's yeah. what I'm saying. But whenever that shit broke apart, he's like, oh, it's because of air and solar, you know, that kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, and the feds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Once no. you defend one of those, fuck you. Now you're defending multiple, which is like, I would rather sacrifice a million lives at the altar of capitalism than for one fucking second deal
well,
with it.
Well, it's arguable that he's defending the energy utility.
Right.
Companies. I'm not sure that he is.
Eh, I mean, practically speaking. I don't know if ideologically speaking, if that's what he's doing.
Okay, so you're saying if you take the parts of his shit that isn't real out of the equation, in the real world, what this serves to do is...
distract from the... from yes. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. I could see that. He wouldn't put those words to paper, but
no,
yeah.
No.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Instead, what he'll do is accuse people of mass murder.
That sounds right.
I'm reading through the stacks of news, and I saw something that felt like deja vu from 10 days ago, 11 days ago. And we know the fires happened in Maui now 16 days ago. Locals reported, and I didn't just believe it, it's a small town in Lahaina. So I went and checked their names and who they were in the local towns. And indeed, well-known town fixtures... the equivalent of the sheriff from Mayberry saying they would not let the men, women, and children get out, and they blockaded the roads, the open, safe highway, hundreds of yards away. We played multiple interviews. We had reporters on the ground that confirmed it, but it was still just the eyewitnesses. The Associated Press has confirmed in their words that under state and federal direction, the Lahaina Town and Sheriff's Department, that's now involved in a massive cover-up, barricaded the two road exits and would not let people leave as they watched the buildings and their cars burn in front of them.
So the guy that's like Andy Griffith in Mayberry is a guy named Fish, who's been interviewed by a YouTube channel called Maui Real Estate. And I don't know. I watched a little bit of it, and I didn't find it more persuasive than the 100 other things
that's
fair. Used as sources of information.
I just want something to be very clear with what Alex just said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Alex just said that these people are on one side of the barricade, watching their homes and cars burn.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, and they are keeping them from running across the barricade. Right. So essentially what Alex just said is that these barricades are keeping these people from running into their burning homes and cars.
No. He's saying it's their homes are burning and also their cars are burning and the barricades are stopping them from running away from their burning cars.
So they're trapped in their burning cars.
Yeah, like there's a street, I believe it's Front Street, that is pretty close to the water that was where a lot of people got caught in a traffic jam.
Okay.
That had access to like the one road that leads to a highway.
Sure.
And that's where a barricade was because the fire was there.
Right.
Too, and there were down lines.
Right.
And so people were stuck on Front Street in terms of like where their cars were.
Right.
And so Alex is pretending that like they were being kept there.
Right.
And that is not so much the case.
They're being put into a place where there's not fire. This is what I'm trying to make very
clear.
But then
fire does come there.
Sure, but the idea is that people are helping them go from places where fire is to places where not fire is.
That is the ideal.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And unfortunately, that is not achieved.
Right. Gotcha. Okay.
And that is where the tragedy, a lot of the tragedy comes in, and where a lot of Alex's ability to play games with this information comes
right.
in.
Right.
And, I mean, it's just, again, it's trauma profiteering.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Disgusting. So part of the issue that comes into play here is that some of the roads were closed, but those roads were impassable. Roads being closed isn't proof of, like, a grand conspiracy to trap people in a fire here.
Yeah.
And that's what Alex is doing. That's what he's saying. And I understand that free speech is important and should be protected, but at a certain point, it's also important to recognize what Alex is doing. He's accusing people of murder. This is slander against the public employees in Maui, and it's not just harmless shit talk. Like, I have no idea what the best course of action is to hold someone responsible for stuff like this, but just ignoring it and saying it's his opinion is something I'm done with. I'm done with accepting that as a way we can operate.
Yeah.
He's straight up accusing people of crimes. He's inciting.
We've argued this conversation for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And we have gone from one place to another that shows self-evidently we are default living in the wrong answer to this question.
I think so.
And so we need to change that answer. Whether we like it or not, whether you think it's right or not, it needs to be done.
Yeah, but once you figure out the right answer, that's when they change the questions. Rest in peace, Roddy Piper.
Six times seven.
So Alex has to just make up details in order for this narrative to fly.
Sure.
In deadly Maui fires, many had no warning and no way out. Those who dodged the barricades survived. That's not an InfoWars headline, though it was a headline a week ago we put out just like that, identical, basically. And they had left the site, say, how dare Jones claim. They attacked me all over the national news, all over newspapers, all over YouTube. Jones is insane, saying the police blocked the people in. And now, the Associated Press, in a detailed report, the government admits they barricaded them in and didn't let them drive down the clean, open road to the highway 200 yards away.
You see here the essential lie Alex needs to tell for this story to work, which is that the roads were clear.
Yeah.
If he were to accept that there were downed trees and live electric wires and fire in the roads and they were impassable, his entire charade falls apart instantly. The very AP article that Alex is citing says, quote, the utility, Hawaiian Electric, says more than 30 power poles are down in West Maui, including along the Hanoapeiʻilani Highway and the south end of Lahaina. The fire department closed the Lahaina bypass road because of the fire. The closures block the only route out of Lahaina to the south. The conspiracy that Alex is selling the audience only works if there isn't a reason for the roads to have been closed. And because that piece is so critical, like that piece, Alex lies to make that piece exist within this puzzle.
Yeah.
If Alex wants to talk about failed emergency response or poor preparedness, he could make some very valid criticisms against the dreaded government. But that isn't profitable for him. His audience isn't entertained by suggestions for improving policy. They want ridiculous horror stories that play to their worldview. They want a racist drunk to regale them with tales that make them feel like they're living in a movie, because that's a lot more fun. To preserve that fun, they are perfectly fine accepting the lies Alex needs to tell to enable these conspiracies to fly. It's just bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucking, it is part of the fundamental reason that it drives people insane. It's just like, if you've ever had to try and build a thing with all the regulations in Chicago, you know, you've got people, the inspector after inspector being like, this is 2 inches of difference, you know, and you're like, this is bullshit, you ticky-tack assholes. And then you look at the way we regulate our fucking electrical grid, and you're like, really? This is how we're going to do things? Mm-hmm. I get it. I get why everybody's furious.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, and especially when, I would assume, I don't know, because the like review and investigation hasn't been fully completed, but sure. I would assume there are some iffy decisions that are made.
Totally.
You know, and maybe some iffy decisions led to death. And that is emotionally palpable. So you take that frustration and that you're describing, then you add the emotional impact of death and,
totally.
And tragedy to it. And that's grist for Alex's mill, yeah, as it were, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's just so mind-boggling how obvious it is, you know, in retrospect, to just be like, no, this can't happen anymore, so now we change it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The idea of doing nothing about it is so bonkers.
Well, I think things will be done.
I hope so.
I
but you look at Texas's grid, you know, you look at ERCOT and you're like, oh, you guys didn't do shit.
But you understand why that's the case.
Exactly. No, I know. I understand why, but there it's too obvious.
There is philosophical unwillingness to do the things that should be done in that situation, whereas I think that in the case of Hawaii, there may be more willingness to engage with, like, all right, post-mortem of the, like, not of people, but of the,
sure,
the
sure,
event,
sure.
Excuse
yeah.
me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What do we learn from this? What steps can be put into place?
Totally.
And, you know, I agree with you. That is frustrating in the case of Texas, but,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
There's other reasons there.
Oh, there's tons of reasons.
So Alex gets into the AP article, and, man, it's a little suspicious, a little sus.
Mm.
As flames tore through a West Maui neighborhood, car after car of fleeing residents headed for the one paved road out of town in a desperate race for safety. And car after car was turned back towards the rapidly spreading fires by a barricade blocking access to Highway 30 with the police enforcing it.
So how accurate do you think that was to the article?
I would say that I'm going to go with 25%.
Actually, you're low. It's mostly accurate. The words, quote, with police enforcing it, though, don't appear in the AP article.
Ah.
Alex is adding those words because he wants to heighten the drama of the story that he's telling to the audience. The impression they're supposed to have is of jackbooted police holding the line and not letting anyone escape the fire. So you have to understand that he's going to make this article say that, whether it actually does or not. The headline works for Alex's propaganda purposes, but he hasn't actually read the article itself, and as he cold reads it on air, you can get the sense that it's not really fitting the narrative well enough, so he dresses it up with his own editorializing, meant to appear as if it's from the article.
Yeah.
This is him defrauding the audience, because he doesn't give a shit about the reality of the things he covers. You notice, though, how much he needs the audience to think that the AP agrees with him, because on some subconscious or conscious level, he knows the audience understands that the AP is depicting reality far more accurately than Alex himself. Alex knows that for his narrative to match up with AP reporting, that sends the message that his narrative matches up with actual reality. If what Alex said was true and the mainstream media just lies and who cares about them, then he wouldn't need to try to Trojan horse his own words into an AP article to make it sound more like him. The charade would be unnecessary, but the charade is necessary. Fundamentally, Alex knows he's a liar, and on some level, his listeners know that they're trying to convince themselves that the fiction they believe is actually truth.
Yeah.
That's why Alex always says things are in the mainstream news, and why he constantly lies about headlines from mainstream outlets. The obviously higher credibility of those outlets, even among the people who swear to hate them, is important to hijack.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, everybody knows, you know. It does feel like, hey, listen, okay, I'll share you this article because it makes me feel good. I'll share you this article because I think it's actually true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, those are the two very clear differences in that right wingosphere,
mm-hmm,
kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, this wouldn't fly if it was a dumb shit blog post.
No.
He wouldn't be trying to desperately cling on to the credibility of it.
No.
And you see that whenever he's trying to co-opt credible outlets.
Yeah, and you know it was a dumb shit blog post because it'd say something like, oh, it's like the scene in Cloverfield when they're trying to escape Manhattan and there are the police barricades. You know, it's like that. That's what they're trying to evoke.
And you would know it was some dumb shit blog because Alex wouldn't specify anything.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I would have to dig to try and figure out, like, this is from 9/11 blogger.
I Googled the sentence word for word.
Yeah. Sometimes that's the only way.
Sometimes it is.
So Alex continues on. With this article.
Okay.
He later picked his way through the flames, smoke, and rubble to pull survivors to safety. But as dozens saved themselves, thousands died, including children. They go on to admit the power lines were knocked down, the power was left on, water was denied, they were murdered.
The words, quote, but as dozens saved themselves, thousands died, including children, are not in this article. What happened is that Alex started reading the next paragraph and realized that it didn't work for him. The actual next line is, quote, but dozens found themselves caught in a hellscape, their cars jammed together on a narrow road surrounded by flames on three sides and the rocky ocean waves on the fourth. Some died in their cars while others tried to run for safety.
Yeah.
Alex skimmed that as he was reading aloud and realized that this doesn't work for his narrative, man. Dozens of people being trapped doesn't match the level of atrocity he's trying to portray, which is why he completely changed the sentence, while pretending it was still from the article. Instead of dozens being trapped, now it's dozens escaping and thousands dying. For you or me, dozens of deaths, that's horrifying and it's a tragedy, but that number is disappointing for Alex,
yeah.
And I suspect he thinks it won't get the audience excited, so he just makes up thousands of fatalities. As of the most recent update from the Maui government, there have been 115 confirmed fatalities, with 99% of the area searched. There are 388 people who have been reported unaccounted for, and the hunt is on for those people, many of whom may well be alive and somewhere they just haven't been found.
Right.
Even assuming the absolute worst, that all of these people who are unaccounted for are dead, that's 503 people. Alex said thousands, which means at least 2,000, so he's arbitrarily multiplying the death toll by four times of the current worst-case scenario.
Yeah.
Why would he do that? Seems weird, right?
Well, unless you're trying to, exaggerate your own importance and so forth.
And sensationalize shit because you're a lying asshole.
Yeah.
Further, the article doesn't say anything about water being denied, but if you read other coverage of the fires, you would understand the issue here. The issue is one of water rights and how it's a hot topic in Hawaii. A developer wanted to divert streams to fight the fires, but native Hawaiians are very opposed to water diversion schemes, going all the way back to like the times of plantations coming in and essentially stealing a precious natural resource at the expense of the people who live there.
For very obvious reasons, don't fuck with our water, you lying pieces of shit.
Yeah. This is a tense issue, but at the same time, by 6 p.m. on the day of the fire outbreak, permission was given to divert streams to fight the fire.
Sure.
Alex is just repeating some dumb conspiracy talking point he saw in a meme and not understanding the reality behind this, nor the cultural issues that are at play with the decision in the greater conversation. Also, the article in no way implies or reports that people were murdered. This is a criminal misuse of the source, and it's being done for Alex's sensationalist purposes to drive attention to himself and profit his own enterprises. It's just a piece of shit. There's no way around it. Just a big old piece of shit.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah, this is one of those things that I really do feel like we could nail down. You know, like, if you get like fucking 10 points total, you know, like you have 10 demerits before you lose your license to broadcast. If you like read a sentence and then you decide that the next sentence of the paragraph doesn't work for you and you just change it completely.
And when it's so transparent.
Yeah, that's catchable, you know?
Well, I mean, this one especially is so fucking obvious. When he says that dozens saved themselves, thousands died, and then the next line in the actual article is dozens found themselves caught in a hellscape.
Totally.
Dozens. It's the word
done and done
that he used to jump off into his own story.
Totally.
And it's the opposite of what the article says.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, when you do things like that, it does reveal intent.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the type of thing where it's like, hey, fuck off with this. Oh, I don't know if this is free speech or not free speech. This is just like a granular, specific thing, and you lose your license or some shit. You're off the air after 10.
I mean,
you know, it's a reasonable thing that I think we can all just be like, hey, you're a liar. And we don't want you on the air.
I support the idea of it, but I think implementation would be hard.
It'd be really tough. You'd have to have basically a set of us dedicated to literally every show.
That's not going to happen.
That's probably not going to happen.
Nope. Not enough crazy competent people.
There really isn't.
So let's take a break. A little breaky from
it.
This.
Yeah.
And hear Alex ramble over that song from Tron.
No. Okay.
Look out for the end of this clip where Alex just gets lost.
Wait, Daft Punk or?
It's that one, The Grid.
Oh, okay.
That one. I don't know who did it. Maybe Daft Punk? I don't know. Anyway, he gets lost in random quotes at the end of it. It's kind of fun.
Okay.
We are the resistance. We are not lying down. We are taking action against the enemy and becoming stronger every day.
Frontier.
While the globalists celebrate their evil,
I tried to
have their parties,
We're out here in the jungle.
What do people like?
Fighting. Working. Loving. Getting stronger. The more they persecute us.
Again, imagine this with no music.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is like This is like Matrix Reloaded levels of, yeah.
The more the people know we're on their side, the stronger we get. I can feel the energy of humanity rising. I can see it. It is our destiny. Take your destiny in your hands. Okay. Stop bowing to the New World Order.
Okay.
Study history. There are times when evil takes over and destroys everything.
When?
Until humanity realizes there's only one way to go, and that is total resistance.
When does that happen?
Total
Wednesdays.
Resistance. And never forget, resistance is victory. Telling the truth.
That's not true.
In a world of universal deceit is a revolutionary act. In the beginning, a patriot is a scarce man, hated, feared, and scorned. But in time, when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
The man in the arena.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's just
jump more quotes in there.
Right?
Yep. How'd you like that? That was fun.
I mean, that wasn't
that good.
That was pretty fun.
It leaves something to be desired.
It's a little too long.
Music's too loud.
Yeah.
It's not boppy enough.
And not esoteric enough.
Yeah, that's true.
There needs to be like a... This dimension will not hold us.
Right.
Something like that.
We belong in the stars.
Yeah, totally. You need to belong in the stars.
We must conquer Saturn.
Especially if you got that kind of base behind you, you go to the stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was more just like a motivational speech.
It was a little bit like resistance. Resistance isn't victory. Usually you lose.
You know, I disagree with you in the sense that how I hear that is what matters is you try. You know,
resistance is
victory in as much as you have got yourself to a place where you are resisting something that is wrong.
Right.
And that in and of itself is a moral victory.
Sure.
It's not victory in the sense that you're going to win.
I mean, yeah, I feel like what it really is just like moving the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've been watching a bit of The Challenge. You know,
sure.
We've talked about this, and
sure.
I think that TJ Lavin would say trying is victory.
Right.
You know, he's mad at people who quit. And,
right.
You know, you get punished for quitting, and I think that trying is a victory.
Sure.
I see that.
I agree.
You didn't give up.
I agree, but at the Olympics, they don't judge on a curve. You know, like there's not like, oh well, this person tried harder, so their high jump of 15.
you're looking at this from such a winning and losing kind of standpoint, and I pity you.
I accept that pity.
I also have been trying to figure out on The Challenge real quick.
Sure.
Slight diversion.
No.
People lose the eliminations and then they have to go home.
True.
And TJ Lavin will generally say, like, you gave it your all. But this ends
we'll
your
see
time
you next
here.
Year.
No,
yeah.
No, that's what I'm getting to.
Oh, okay.
Because sometimes he'll say, like, this ends your time here on The Challenge.
Yeah.
And then they go.
Yes.
And then sometimes he says, I'm sure we'll see you in the future.
I'm sure we'll see you in the future.
Why does he say that to some people and not others?
Because I think he has a say in whether or not you're coming back or not.
But sometimes he says it to people who are obviously coming back.
You don't need to say things.
Sometimes he says it to people who you're never going to see back.
I've never heard him say it to anybody that we've never seen back.
I can't remember who, but he said it to someone. I'm like, I'm going to see that person. I haven't seen him.
I feel like
he was being polite in that instance.
That evidence is spotty.
Also, I went back and I started a season a little ways back.
Sure. In the past?
Yeah. Oh, man, it was offensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is tough to go back before season 30-ish.
Yeah.
Because before that, it is... It's violent to like interpersonally violent. It's violent towards women.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really, really hard to watch.
It is something that I really think we're all really trying to avoid reconciling.
Mm.
It's just like how much everybody goes, you know, 10 years ago, it wasn't like this, you know, and how much people don't want to be like, 10 years ago, it was like this.
Yes.
You know, so let's deal with that and not deal with how it doesn't feel like it was better now.
Yeah. So we get back to Hawaiian issues. Mm. This is not good.
We need the people that did this to be arrested. But don't look for the Justice Department to do it. They're too busy persecuting our great president.
And it's not their job.
So just know who these individuals are, ladies and gentlemen.
Who?
There's the Associated Press. In deadly Maui fires, many had no warning and no way out. Those who dodged the barricades survived, that were put up as the fire arrived, the water denied, the power left on, sirens never turned on. And it's not like it's some desert property nobody wants. It's the most expensive square inch property on earth that a bunch of poor people refuse to sell because it's their culture. And that's the globalist enemy. Somebody they can't buy, like me or you. You can't buy all
you are so easy to buy.
My head, you couldn't put a gun
to
their head.
You're so easy
to
buy.
To die. Most of the families are dead. Some of their families have been there hundreds of years, if not thousands of their locals, indigenous. And now the state can come in because there's nobody there to stand up for them and take it. Well, this is it.
The state's literally standing up.
I'm going to Hawaii. I'm going to Maui. I'm not going to say when, but soon. And we're going to expose this.
So you might notice that Alex doesn't say who should be arrested, just a vague, nebulous they that the audience can take to mean whoever they want.
Yeah.
Alex should have learned his lesson about insisting on going places to uncover non-existent cover-ups back with Sandy Hook, but I guess he's going to try to encourage some more harassment of public officials and locals. Hope he doesn't end up causing more terror to people's lives. Oh, he definitely will.
Yeah.
That being said, the least surprising news in the world is that Alex is going to take another vacation to Hawaii and pretend it's for work purposes.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of the most disgusting things I can think of, because I guarantee Alex looks at this going like, ooh, another workcation.
Yep.
I guarantee it. It's so fucking pure and clear in my mind that is true.
Yeah. I think the alternative is that he's thinking, man, I'm going to go cause some trouble. I'm going to go stir some stuff up. I'm going to be in the headlines, just like when I was a seatbelt snitch down at the border pretending I was saving traffic children.
Yep.
And that, to me, like, if you're clear about that's what you're doing, it's another level of, like, grotesque. I hope he just thinks he's going on a vacation, because that at least is just like, well, you're a shithead,
just
nihilist, you're
alone.
Checked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely that is the ultimate thing, is don't go.
Just don't go.
No one wants you there.
Everyone alone.
Yeah.
Dome. Truman Show. Let's get this done.
Get this guy in the dome.
Come on.
So Alex gets back to the AP article here, and what do you know? He lies some more.
Yeah.
And you got to read the AP article. It's 1, 2,
you gotta read it.
3, 4, 5, 6 pages long. It's a long article for AP, but it's short and easy to read. You read this, it sounds like it's a transcript of my show last week.
Nope.
They didn't trim the trees. They left the power on the power lines. They refused them the water. They didn't turn on the sirens. Then, quote, to protect them from fire, when any police could look and see the roads were open to the highway and there weren't fires there, the fires were in the town, so they blocked them in so they couldn't get away from the fire? Whoever gave the police that order is who we need in a jail cell right now.
This article may be that long if you print it out with large font like Alex does, sure. But it's not very long, and Alex didn't read it. This is a complete misrepresentation of what's in that article, because, again, he wants to attach the credibility of the Associated Press to the sensationalized and made-up things he's telling his audience. It is true that the sirens weren't used, and that is mentioned in the article. This is probably part of why, on the 17th, Herman Andaya, the Maui Emergency Management Agency administrator, submitted his resignation. Hawaii's attorney general is still conducting a review of the decisions made during the emergency, so a lot more will be known about the rationale for not activating the sirens in due time, but for now, it's very unfair for Alex to report to his listeners that this was done in an attempt to kill people.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the case, but I wonder if it is. I haven't seen this in any article, but this is just my thought, and maybe I'm stupid.
Yeah.
But I could see not sounding off the sirens because, like, there was also a hurricane going around.
Sure.
And I think it could have confused people because you'd want to behave differently depending on what the emergency is. Like, if it's a fire, you evacuate.
Right.
If it's a hurricane, maybe you evacuate.
Yeah.
Or maybe, like, there are different behaviors. I don't know. That's just my thought. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Another AP article about the communication problems during the fire involves input from Carl Kim, the director of the National Disaster Preparedness Training Center, who said, quote, said it's too soon to know exactly how the warning and alert system might have saved more lives in Lahaina, and noted that wildfires are often more challenging to manage than volcanic eruptions, tsunamis, and even earthquakes because they are more difficult to detect and track over time. We're still in a wet cement moment for Alex with this tragedy, and he's trying to make sure that his version of it sticks with the audience's mind before more information can come to light that helps people better understand the specific failings in things like preparedness that created this outcome. Improving preparedness and working together to make a better government that works for the people doesn't profit Alex, which is why that's never the conversation. The conversation is always about evil people carrying out evil plans, because you can't do shit about that other than stay glued to conspiracy bullshit and support idiots like Alex who promise to keep you informed and keep you safe because they're the ones who are doing the battling. They're on the front lines, tip of the spear, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's all nonsense. Actual solutions are a detriment to Alex's bottom line and profits.
No, they are. His entire business model is a function of this. Like, if I impede people's ability to improve things, then I will make money in the interregnum.
Yes, and if you impede people's ability to improve things and make things work better, there's a higher likelihood that there will be conflagrations that happen that I can blame on the evil people, and then the cycle will repeat.
Right, but the implicit truth is that he is relying on others to still do the job.
Right.
You know, like,
Alex couldn't figure out how to manage emergency response to a fucking fire.
I mean, not just that, but still improve things so that, like, the idea is I am going to make as much money off of this fire as I possibly can, but I still want them to not make any more fires.
Well,
I just want the intervening.
I don't know if he cares about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, if Austin's on fire, you know, I would prefer it if they keep Austin from being on fire.
Sure.
And I rely on the people.
Yeah, he doesn't want his house on fire.
Exactly.
Everyone else's is fine.
Totally.
As
totally
long as
fine.
There's a way to blame the globalists.
Right, exactly.
It's trauma and tragedy profiteering, and it's disgusting.
Yeah.
But there's other things that are disgusting, like hotel room prices.
No, that's true.
Meanwhile, FEMA agents booking $1,000 a night luxury resorts in Maui amid failed disaster. They're renting hotel rooms at the Four Seasons down the road, starting at $1,000 a night. That's outside my budget.
No, it's not.
Outside most of yours.
Yes, it
but
is.
But outside of theirs. Well, they give $700, period, to the survivors of their administrative mass murder.
This wasn't murder, and that's definitely not outside Alex's price range, given the luxury resorts we found him staying at in his recent vacations.
Yeah.
FEMA personnel who are responding to the disaster have to stay somewhere, and I don't know if I'm too interested in pretending that this is the kind of government expenditure that somehow passed the line or whatever.
Right.
This is what's known as pretend populism. Alex wants you to think that he's just like you. He can't afford nice hotel rooms, and he's offended that the people in Lahaina aren't getting more from the government. But none of that's real. He's super rich, even with the bankruptcy, and owns multiple watches that cost more than most of his audience's net worth. More importantly, his political beliefs dictate that the people in Lahaina shouldn't even be getting $700 from the government. Why should they get a handout just because something bad happened to them? Sure, they lost all their property, but shouldn't they have had that insured? Is it really the government's job to make up for their bad decisions not getting insurance? Alex's extreme conservatism doesn't believe in social assistance programs, and if folks like Ron Paul had their way, this wouldn't be something the government would do at all. This is why charities exist. If there are people who are downtrodden, voluntary giving and support from churches, that's all they really need. It's actually oppressive for the government to give people money to bail them out of difficult times because it sends the message that you can just be irresponsible and expect everyone else to clean up the mess when you get in trouble. This is what Alex's political policy set involves, but he and all the other fake-ass populist posturing idiots like him understand that people generally find this mentality super cold, and they don't like it. That's why they put on this charade of being offended that the government didn't give people more money. They know that normal, caring humans feel that way, so they're appealing to that feeling in normal humans, but you may notice that Alex isn't advocating that the government actually give out more assistance. He's just trying to exploit the fact that you care about the victims of the fire and then using that to attack his enemies. He doesn't care at all, but he can't afford to be seen as not caring.
Totally. Yeah.
The appearance of his actual politics would turn off so many people with its callousness and lack of regard for decency.
Yeah.
And so you have to put on this act. Yeah. Otherwise, you show yourself to be a shithead.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine being like, oh, listen, I hate the government just grabbing whatever hotel rooms are available in an emergency. Mm-hmm. I want them to scour Airbnbs. And fuck it, that might even violate the Third Amendment.
It might, and the you have to consider what's there.
Yeah.
What wasn't affected by the fire.
Totally.
The limitations are very serious here at the moment.
This is an emergency. I am not mad at people just throwing shit into an emergency.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, but you gotta understand.
And you know who owns the Four Seasons?
Joe Biden.
Oh, you didn't know?
Say Joe Biden. Say Joe Biden.
Say I look it. Up who owns what before I stay there. That's another reason I don't stay there. Andy Bravo was staying there about a couple weeks ago when he came to hang out with me and Joe Rogan, and I went to pick him up there, and I said, hey, Andy, you know who owns this? I wouldn't put him down. He said, no. I said, Bill Gates. He goes, no. I said, Google it. He's main owner, majority owner.
So, yeah, Bill Gates, along with Saudi Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal Al Saud, are the primary owners of Four Seasons through stock holdings. I guess if Alex wants to stay away because of that, good for him, man. I mean, like, you know, vote with your dollars.
Yeah.
Cool. I don't have a problem with that,
yeah,
necessarily.
Yeah.
He's a total liar about researching where he stays, though. He just saw the Bill Gates thing in a meme and decided to take it on as the result of some research he does.
Yeah.
You can tell this because on his last vacation to Kauai, he stayed at the Royal Sonesta Hotel, which is owned by Service Properties Trust. If you look a little bit into Service Properties Trust, you'll find that the top two stockholders for them are BlackRock and the Vanguard Group, two entities who are big old villains for Alex at the moment. In fact, he's saying that the power was left on in Maui because BlackRock owns the power utilities since they're part of this grand conspiracy. So either Alex is lying about looking into who owns the hotels he stays at because it makes him sound smarter and more principled than he is, or he actually secretly supports BlackRock and Vanguard. And Goldman Sachs, too. They are also heavy investors in Service Properties Trust.
Yeah.
Alex is a fucking loser, desperate to pull out this little trivia to make himself feel smarter and better than everyone around him. But it's all an act. He's a total fraud.
Yeah.
Nonsense. And I didn't pull this clip, but there was a moment, just a tiny little moment that I found delightful, where he was like, Bill Gates is making $1,000 a night.
Oh, my God.
Because these FEMA people are staying at a Four Seasons. And to imagine, first of all, Bill Gates would have any awareness of the prices of the rooms at a hotel that he has investments in.
Jesus.
Is silly. And to think that he'd be like, fucking
$1,000.
Ridiculous.
0.0001, relatively speaking, of a cent to Bill Gates.
Right. Bill Gates is looking at the no vacancy. Like, he's looking at the list of rooms that are booked at the Four Seasons. You're like, thank God we did this fire. I am making it hand over fist.
Oh, boy. This is
so stupid.
That is unreal.
Yeah.
I think it's also unreal whenever, every time you start looking into who owns what, it's such a, oh, we live in a fucking aristocracy.
Yeah.
Especially
when you start, you know, going back to the, you know, things like Service Properties Trust.
Yeah.
You know, like they have these names of these larger companies that own things and they're like, oh, this is a subsidiary of.
Yep.
Black. Yeah. It's pretty depressing.
Yeah. It is just so. It's like, oh, okay. Either one rich guy owns this or it's owned by 30 different things that eventually wind up to 10 rich guys own this.
Right.
And you're like, oh, okay. All right.
And these things like you know, the Vanguard group.
Yeah.
Things that have, like, large amounts of investments and things.
Yeah.
Kind of a bummer.
Y'all gotta go.
But at the same time, you know, I always try to find those little spots to give it up. And if Alex truly doesn't want to support Bill Gates by not going to the Four Seasons, that's one of the healthiest things I can imagine him doing.
Yes, I support that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I remember my mom, when we were younger, I can't remember what gas station it was, but there was some gas station that, like, I guess probably one of the ones that had a spill or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, nope, we got to drive a little bit further to go to a different gas station.
Yeah.
Hey, inconvenience yourself a tiny bit to not spend money at the people that you disagree with.
Yep.
Good for you.
That's the way you do it.
Yes.
You can't be like, oh, I'm never shopping at this place again. You got to find places and be like, this is where I'm always shopping.
Instead, Alex pretends he's on some kind of a high horse because he's giving money to BlackRock and Vanguard and Goldman Sachs instead of Bill Gates and a Saudi prince.
You got it.
Great.
Oh, man. The Saudis also own everything. It's the Saudis. It's sovereign wealth funds.
Mm-hmm.
10 rich guys who own BlackRock and then one rich guy that owns everything.
There's a lot of that.
Oh, that's brutal.
So Alex doesn't do, you know, all of his show on this episode, and I think there's a reason, and I think he's not feeling well.
We're not funded by Bill Gates, and despite all the globalist attacks, we're still hanging on. And this news is so big that, despite the fact that I got COVID tested this morning, don't have COVID.
Oh, my God.
My kid's gone to the office with some type of virus. So my voice is particularly deep today, not because I'm trying to sound like Darth Vader, because every word hurts.
I think Alex might have COVID again.
Yep. That's four times?
And I think that this is an opportunity to, say that, maybe you should take it more seriously than we have. Maybe we've been a little bit flippant on that front and some stuff that could have some examination
on
our parts, and it's certainly coming back more, I think.
Absolutely.
I think that there's some reports.
Well, you know, it never went away.
That's a good point.
It went from pandemic to endemic, and the problem with humans is we cannot just sustain that for this long.
Yes.
Without, like, conscious, deliberate effort. It's just like eventually everything gets equalized to where it's like, oh, well, sure, COVID is still a devastating problem, but that's normal now because it's been a devastating problem for 3 years, you know? And it's like, I can't live.
And so many of the things that are the parts of it that make it a devastating problem, like lingering COVID, long COVID type stuff, that's mysterious in some ways. I don't think that there's a full understanding of a lot of that.
Sure.
And it's very difficult to be constantly mindful of that.
Yeah.
And then secondarily, a lot of the things that would be incredibly helpful are things that half of the population has made it clear are not possible. It's a difficult situation.
Yeah. And it is like, whenever it is this, it is impossible, if you are immunocompromised, not to think like, oh, well, this is a small enough group or a group that is just doesn't have enough power to advocate for itself in any way or whatever. And people are just totally fine with letting us go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's hard not to view that whenever nobody even seems to care that it's still there and it's still a serious threat. Like,
yeah,
I get it. I understand.
Yeah. And it's something that I think we think on a little more.
Sure.
But also, Bray Wyatt died as of now. The understanding is that he had some heart complications
from COVID
and had a heart attack. And, you know, it is, that it didn't go away, obviously. Yeah. It's something that we know. I think you put it well with the, like, the
it
level,
equalizes.
It's so
it just equalizes. It doesn't matter how good things are or how bad things are. Eventually, it equalizes if they are that way for a long enough period of time.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, And it happens to everybody. I'm not as fucked over by, or I'm not as emotionally destroyed by how fucked over I am. And in the same way, you're not as emotionally excited by how good things are over time. It's just how our brains function.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks. And I understand. I'm just sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have one last clip here, and it's Alex discussing his plans to go to Hawaii. And like,
oh, look, my God, that's the worst. How could you do that now?
He wants to relax on the beach and stuff.
Fucking hell.
But he's not gonna. He's not gonna.
Mm.
And they just hope we forget about it and move on. But we're not going to forget about it. And I'm going there very soon. Very soon. I might leave today. Maybe next week. We'll see. I'm going to look into it. But mass murder where you caught them red-handed like this demands attention. And quite frankly, it's very frustrating because if I go to Hawaii, I want to relax and have a good time. I'm not going to be doing that while I'm there. I might have a dinner or maybe swim in the pool for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But
wow.
It's going to be really torturous to be around these mass murderers and know what they did while you're in such a beautiful place. It's going to be very paradoxical. But you can bet your bottom dollar. We're going in with helicopters. We're going in with everything.
And Mai Tais, I'm going to be sitting by the pool. An hour, maybe. A little more than that, maybe.
I can't imagine thinking anything other, like seeing this happen and thinking anything other than I will go to Hawaii when they say, the locals say that it's okay. And I will go
It'll be a while.
They say, exactly. No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, this is now all on them. I have no input in any decisions until, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and my first thought, I don't know. I don't like to talk about, outside of, like, when we do, like, Dream of Creamy Summer.
Sure.
Drive for fun, like, charities and stuff.
Sure.
I don't like to talk too much about charity stuff that I'd give to, but like the first thing I thought was, oh my God, it's so awesome that someone made a spreadsheet that vetted GoFundMes that are of people who are there so direct aid can go to, like, that's the first thing I thought and engaged with, not God, I'm gonna find these nebulous, obscure, vague, unnamed mass murderers by going in, I'll have a dinner, I'll sit at the pool for a little while.
Yeah.
It's such shit. Just, it's, I don't know. I remember when Rogan was sort of teetering on the edge of being a full-on shithead.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, like, if you're not on the side of helping refugees, you're not on the team.
Yeah.
And that term has stuck with me a little bit. And this kind of behavior out of Alex, you're not on the team, man.
You're not on the team.
This is your impulse and your instinct of what to do in the wake of a tragedy. You're not on the team, man. You're out for yourself.
Yeah, it is impossible to understate, but every time he's like, it's us, humanity against the evil power, it cannot be understated. Alex is actively working against team humanity.
Yeah.
On all fronts.
Oh, yeah.
If there were aliens who were like, how do we destroy the human race? They'd be like, first off, we're going to hire Alex
because
he's clearly already on our
crushing
team.
Crushing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just absurd.
Yeah. Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
Man, I thought that last time we talked about the Hawaii fire was the last time.
It was going to be really. Yep.
Nope. Gets worse.
Yeah, it really does.
So we'll be back with another episode down the road. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight.
Yeah, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX. Clark. Ski-dee-dee-doop-doop-da-doop-doop-doop-doop. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got...
Woo, yeah! Woo, yeah!
And now here comes the sex robot.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.